From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series in the book of Joshua, Dr. Cairns is preaching from verse 45 of chapter 21. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Now an old man, Joshua looked back over his life of service to the Lord. His experiences included the deliverance from the bondage of Egypt, the passage of the Red Sea, the wilderness wanderings, and eventually the crossing of the Jordan and the conquest of the Promised Land. He was able to testify that the Lord had been faithful to His word in all those long years. From Joshua's words of testimony, Dr. Cairns is drawing some encouraging lessons for both the unsaved as well as for the saints of God. First of all, we see that lost sinners may cast themselves with confidence upon God's offer of salvation in Christ. The Christ who saved Saul of Tarsus and changed him into Paul the Apostle is able to save all who come unto God by Him. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, the gospel is simple, but people sometimes stumble over its simplicity. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled, The Lord's Faithfulness. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 14. I will help thee, saith the Lord. This morning, let us hear the Lord Jesus speak to each one of us, I will help thee. It is a small thing for me, thy God, to help thee. Consider what I have done already. What, not help thee? Why, I bought thee with my blood. What, not help thee? I have died for thee. And if I have done the greater, will I not do the less? Help thee? It is the least thing I will ever do for thee. I have done more, and will do more. Before the world began, I chose thee. I made the covenant for thee. I laid aside my glory and became a man for thee. I gave my life for thee. And if I did all this, I will surely help thee now. In helping thee, I am giving thee what I bought for thee already. If thou hast need of 1,000 times as much help, I would give it thee. Thou requirest little compared with what I am ready to give. 'Tis much for thee to need, but it is nothing for me to bestow. Help thee? Fear not. If there were an ant at the door of thy granary asking for help, it would not ruin thee to give him a handful of thy wheat. And thou art nothing but a tiny insect at the door of my all-sufficiency. I will help thee. O my soul, is not this enough? Dost thou need more strength than the omnipotence of the united Trinity? Dost thou want more wisdom than exists in the Father, more love than displays itself in the Son, or more power than is manifest in the influences of the Spirit? Bring hither thine empty pitcher. Surely this well will fill it. Haste, gather up thy wants, and bring them here, thine emptiness, thy woes, thy needs. Behold, this river of God is full for thy supply. What canst thou desire beside? Go forth, my soul, in this thy might. The eternal God is thine helper. Fear not, I am with thee. O, be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid.
Thank you.
often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost, but down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved, times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Thank you.
Joshua had heard the Lord's promise when Israel was in the land of Egypt, saying, I have seen the affliction of my people, I have heard their cry, and I have come down to deliver them. He had seen the Lord's miracles there in the land of Egypt as he sent one plague after another in order to lead the people out of the land. He had eaten the Lord's Passover. He had crossed through the Red Sea dry shod. He had known the Lord's provision for himself and for the people in the wilderness. He had been with Moses as his servant. When Moses went up into Mount Sinai to converse with the Lord and to receive the law of God, he had taken over the leadership of the land of Israel, or should I say the people of Israel, upon the death of Moses. He had led the people over Jordan and into the promised land, and then from victory to victory over one strong enemy after another. Finally, he had seen them settled as possessors of the land, even though, as chapter 23 makes clear, there was still much land to be actually taken in possession. Now, in our text, this old man, after such a varied experience, surveys the vast panorama of his life, and as he tries to sum up all his experiences, Joshua said, there failed not aught or anything of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. The simple yet glorious message of that text is that the Lord keeps His word and fulfills His promise. The Lord keeps His word and fulfills His promise. As I looked at this text, it seemed to me to be an aged saint's testimony to the unfailing faithfulness of the Lord to His word and to His people. And as I thought of that, it came home to my heart that there is something here for every one of us in this meeting this morning. And I want to take something for each of us. I want to take three very simple truths and lessons we can gather from this basic fact. First, those who are unsaved, men and women who are still in their sins, who have no preparation to meet God, whose consciences are not yet at rest, who are truly lost. Men and women who are yet lost may cast themselves with confidence upon the Lord's promise of salvation. When Joshua said, all came to pass, there hasn't failed one thing of the good that the Lord promised to us. That statement took him in his mind right back to the land of Egypt. It brought him back to that period when he, like all the other Israelites, were in bondage in the land of their slavery. He remembered the bitterness and the gall of that experience. But he well remembered when Moses came into the people and he says, I've come with a message from God. I'm going to Pharaoh to say, in the name of Jehovah, let my people go. Joshua, as he wrote these words, was taken back to Egypt in his memory, and especially was he taken back to that fateful night described in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. When Moses told the people, take to you and to your homes a lamb, the firstling of the flock, shed its blood, catch that blood in a basin, roast the flesh and eat it, and take the blood and sprinkle it upon the doorposts and the lintel of the house, for the angel of death will pass through the land of Egypt this night. But the promise of Jehovah is, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. As Joshua wrote the words of our text, in memory he went back to that great night in Egypt. He could well see the lamb slain. He could see the blood applied. He remembered the cry from Egypt. He remembered the wheels from the Egyptian homes as death visited every home. But he also remembered that God passed over the homes of his people and he delivered them by the blood of the Lamb. As Joshua said, God has not failed. Not one thing of all the good he has promised has failed to come to pass. His first thought surely was, he kept his word and he saved those of us who were sheltering beneath the blood of the Lamb. You know, that's a perfect picture of the Lord's dealings with sinners. The Word of God is, you could say, full of the gracious promises of the Lord to lost souls. Now, it's true that God's Word will not allow a sinner a false refuge. Dr. Barrett mentioned in the opening prayer this morning, we may have our religion, but that'll not be enough. You don't have eternal life by having religion. It doesn't matter what you call your religion. It doesn't matter the name of the church upon that religion. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells you that when you've got your religion, you've got eternal life. No, no. The Bible will not allow us a false refuge. The Bible shows sinners their sin. It wants men to know that God is holy, just, and righteous. That he holds them to the strictest standard of his immutable law, by which they stand condemned at the judgment bar of the eternal. He warns them of the consequences of their sin. In the words of Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He removes from them every hope in themselves. There is no self-help road to heaven. The Bible takes it all away, but it does so in order to let sinners see the fullness of saving grace in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, and he was speaking of a real sinner at this time, a man by the name of Zacchaeus, a wicked, vicious, money-grubbing, selfish, blood-sucking sinner. A more hateful little man it would be impossible to imagine. If he lived in Greenville, he would be the most detested character in the city. But the Lord Jesus came and he said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And looking at Zacchaeus, who was flabbergasted at the thought, the Lord Jesus said, today I must abide at thy house. Today is salvation come to this house. Do you see the conjunction? When Jesus comes, salvation comes. He is salvation. The 35th Psalm says, the psalmist praying to Jehovah, he says, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Not just I provide it, I purchase it, I give it, I allow it, I plan it. No, no. I am thy salvation. The Lord Jesus is the salvation of God. Bless God. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Paul looked back in his unsaved days and he said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. I would say this, when any soul is serious about getting right with God, that soul feels, I am the guiltiest of sinners. If ever anybody deserved the wrath of God, I do. Anybody who doesn't feel that he or she deserves the full fury of the wrath of God, A, has never understood how holy God is, and second, has never understood how utterly vile their own sinful heart is. But when God works with conviction upon a lost soul, that soul feels like Paul, I am the very chief of sinners. Now, Paul, in his unsaved days, was a Pharisee, probably a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. He was, I would say, the greatest young scholar among the crop of young scholars that rabbinical Judaism had then provided. He was a man that everybody looked up to. He fasted, he prayed, he read the Bible, he learned the Bible, he memorized the Bible, he knew it. But he said, I was the chief of sinners. Wicked, vile, guilty, wretched, deserving of the wrath of God. But this is the story of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world for this very purpose, to save even the chief of sinners. Paul spoke of that great saving grace of God in many places. I love the words of the 5th chapter of Romans. It's another one of those portions I advise people to commit to memory. Starting off, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so on down the chapter. But in verses 6 to 8, we have the great statement of God's love. Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to tell you, God has filled his word with statements of his saving grace and purpose in Christ, and to them he adds the glorious promise. I think of Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's able to save to the uttermost. Who is he able to save? All that come unto God by him. Now this is the plain statement of Scripture. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 11, come unto me. Come unto me. Isn't that simple?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.